Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. And it has already been a blessing just being in church. I trust that you feel the very same way. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37. Jeremiah, chapter 37. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, prophet of God to the nation of Judah before the captivity of Judah. And so Jeremiah chapter 37, if you can and would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the word of God together. We're going to start in verse 1 and read down to verse 17. As I read, you follow right along with me. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 1. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coni, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehuchal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Messiah, the priest of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not unto him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princess. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. For he said, Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again this morning, what a blessing it's already been to sense in your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already received. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture and we learn from this example and this event in Jeremiah's life, I just pray, God, that you would help each and every one of us to open up and receive that spiritual help that would help us in applying this biblical principle to our lives today. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word. Use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, again, we find that Jeremiah was a prophet of God to the land of Judah, and he was prophesying for the people to return to their God and to serve him. And yet the people would not. In verse 2, the Bible says, "But neither he," that means the king of Judah, "or his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah." So we find here that God's people would not repent of their sin. They would not turn away from their evil deeds and turn back to God as their heavenly Father and looking to serve him as he wanted them to serve them. So the people were very rebellious. And because of that, we find that God had already started in process of the Babylonians coming in to take them into captivity. So Babylon had already invaded the land of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And so we find in verse 3 that King Zedekiah, down deep, the King Zedekiah realized that Jeremiah was a true prophet of God. And as you study this passage and you study the life of King Zedekiah and also the life of Jeremiah, that he down deep, he knew that Jeremiah spoke the truth. And so we find here that Zedekiah the king actually goes to Jeremiah and asks him to inquire of the Lord, what's taking place? How is this going to work itself out? And Babylon now had invaded Jerusalem. And so he went in verse 3. In verse 5, we find here that the Chaldeans, now if you see the word Chaldeans, that's the inhabitants of Babylon, okay? Instead of looking to them as the Babylonians, they are referred to as the Chaldeans. These are those of Babylon. And so you can replace Chaldean with Babylon. So we find here that in verse 5, the Chaldeans had left Jerusalem, but it was just a temporary departure. They left because they thought that Egypt was sending their armies to side with Judah to fight against Babylon. And so they withdrew their armies from Jerusalem, but it was a temporary withdrawal. And so because of this, they thought that the battle was over. King Zedekiah and Judah thought that, hey, they had defeated them because of just the threat of the Egyptian army coming to side with them, that they didn't have to worry about Babylon any longer. Well, we find in verse 6 through 10, God told Jeremiah what to tell the king. And if you remember reading that, we find that he tells them, don't be deceived, it's not happening. Egypt's going to go back to Egypt. They're not going to follow through. They're not going to come. They're not going to deliver you out of the hand of the Chaldeans or Babylon. But Babylon will return and they will burn the city and take Judah into captivity. That was the message. That's what God told Jeremiah to go and preach to Judah and King Zedekiah. In verse 13, they called Jeremiah a spy. And when he was in the gate of the Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." So we find here that they called Jeremiah a spy, and they said that he had been colluding with the Chaldeans. As we look to this, we know this was possibly the first beginning of fake news. Okay, because they had made it all up, none of it was true, and they thought the people would believe that Jeremiah, the prophet of God, had been colluding with the enemy. Jeremiah flat out refused. He says it's not true. We find in verse 14, then said Jeremiah, "It's false. How could you even think such a thing?" But they did not. They wanted to get rid of Jeremiah. And so they took Jeremiah and they put him in prison. Yeah. After many sleepless nights by the king Zedekiah, because he realized that it just wasn't all adding up, he goes secretly and he takes Jeremiah out of prison. In verse 17, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Now you have to understand what he's saying there is, has God changed his mind? Now that you've been in prison, are you going to say the same thing? you're facing a life sentence in prison for colluding with the enemy. You could actually even be killed for being a spy. Are you sure? Has God changed his mind? Do you want to change your prophecy to us now? Do you see that's what's going on? That's this biblical principle that God has given to us in this example of Jeremiah the prophet and the people of Judah and the king Zedekiah. Has God changed his mind? See, Zedekiah did not want to believe Jeremiah's prophecy, because that means that they're going to be judged for their sin. Others had told Zedekiah something different. There was other prophets in the land that said, no, don't believe Jeremiah. We don't have to worry about a Babylonian invasion. They've already left. They're not coming back. Look at verse 19. Jeremiah says, where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Whereas you put me in prison, but yet these false prophets that are telling you that you have nothing to worry about, and evidently you know that's not the truth, or you would never come back and ask me if I've changed my prophecy. Others had told him something different. See, many believed if they could silence Jeremiah, that his prophecy would be forgotten. Is this the 21st century United States of America or what? If you just close down all those fundamental churches that are preaching the Bible the same way that they used to preach it 2,000 years ago, and yet they're still preaching the very same thing. If we just shut them down and remove that from society, maybe everyone will forget what the Bible says concerning righteousness and holiness and the judgment of God. Wow. Jeremiah's answer. Look back with me, chapter 37, verse 17. Is there any word from the Lord? Has God changed his mind? And Jeremiah said, well, there is. God continues to speak to me. For there is, for said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. It's the same message that he said before. And he'll continue to say it. And I got to continue to preach it because it's the truth. I want to preach a message to you this morning on God never changes his mind. God, the Creator, who is a sovereign God, who is an omniscient God. That means he is all-knowing. So God, who has the whole world and eternity in view all the time. He has the whole world and eternity, not just now. Not just today, but the whole eternity in view. Why would he change his mind? He sees the future. Matter of fact, if you want to understand what the future holds for humanity, stop trying to call the psychic hotline. That's not going to give you an accurate understanding of the future. God has given to us insight into the reality of the future. We have it in this Bible right here. It's called the book of Revelation. It's called Jesus Christ revealing to us what is going to take place on planet Earth after this church age comes to an end. We have it. We have, God has revealed to us certain things for us to understand that it's real. It's something that you know is going to take place. And it's what's to be preached until it happens. You see, silencing Jeremiah was not going to change what God said would take place, because it was God who said it. And God is immutable. What does that mean? It means that he changes not. Throughout my life, I've changed my mind about many things. As a young boy, I thought all girls have cooties. Except for mom. And I believe that. As a young boy, I believe that we're all going to have an all-boys club. No girls allowed. They have cooties, whatever that means that they have. They have them. As I matured, I changed my mind. Then I wanted to kick out all the boys and say, all you girls are welcome. Come on in. Yeah. God has a plan for girls as well as boys. Amen. Yeah. I changed my mind as my mind matured. And I got more information. I thought, as a teenager, my parents were out of touch with reality. Now, I really believe that. As a teenager, I thought I had all of the answers. And surely my parents, they're old fogey. I mean, they cannot relate to the day and age that I was living in. You know, I changed my mind when I became a parent. I realized the wisdom of my mom and dad. I realized that it was timeless wisdom. Yeah. I changed my mind because I matured in my thinking. I had more experience. I had more understanding of life. As I was changing and maturing, my thoughts were changing. Now, this will get you. I thought that golf was for sissies. That's crazy thinking. I thought, no, only football. Yeah, let's get out there. Let's hit each other. This is a contact sport. I want a contact sport. If you don't want contact, you can go play golf. Go ahead. I'm going to play football. I'm going to play basketball. Those are sports. And I'm thinking, how could I ever have thought that? Today, one of the best games ever invented is the game of golf. Yeah. I changed my thinking, you know, when I couldn't play football anymore. And I realized that that's catching up with me. All those football games that I played when I was younger, I'm suffering because of it today. I've changed my thinking. The book of Numbers in chapter 30, 23 and verse 19 says this: God is not a man that he should lie. God has no reason to lie. Can I tell you that all of us at some point believe that we had reason to lie? Not to tell the truth. Thinking sometimes it's even better off for whoever it is I'm lying to that I don't tell them the truth. That's a man. God is not a man that he should lie. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." You can't get any simpler than that. God never changes his mind. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes his mind. God's word and God's will are firmly established and will never change, no matter what. No matter how the world changes, no matter how our circumstances of life change, God never changes his mind. Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 17. Is there any word from the Lord? Has he changed his mind? Now that you've been in prison, now that all this has taken place, your circumstances have changed, Jeremiah. Has he said something different? First of all, this morning, just very brief. The introduction was long, the message is brief. God is faithful to his word. He wouldn't say it if it's not true. And he won't change it if it's true. Truth never changes. If you learn truth, it will always be true. It will always be true. It will never change. Time cannot change truth. Circumstances cannot change truth. Truth will never change. God's word is true. And he's faithful to his word. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near to God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Full assurance, if my faith is based upon God's truth, I can have full assurance of my faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What we profess to be true, what we think to be the truth, if it's based upon God's word, listen to me, it will never change. It is truth. Let us hold fast. God's telling you this morning, if you know the Bible, if you know my truth, hold on to it. Don't change. The truth does not change. Do not change your belief in the truth. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is a faithful man. He is faithful that promised. Hold fast concerning all issues of life. I don't know what your issues of life might be today. I don't know what kind of questions you have. But can I tell you, without any doubt, God has the answers. The Bible that we have right here, it is filled with God's answers. It is the mind of God. It is what God knows that we will need throughout this life, throughout our lives, no matter what generation it was, from the very first generation to this 21st generation. Can I tell you, New Testament Christianity, God knows what we have need of, and he's put it in this Bible right here. And if you know the truth, that truth will set you free. And it will never change. Once you learn that truth, you don't have to worry about it changing. You just apply it every time. And keep applying it every time. Whenever your circumstances change, your truth doesn't change. You just apply the same truth. Because it works. No matter what happens in society, no matter what you're dealing with, listen to me, once you understand the truth, you have the truth to make an application. Hold on to it. That's your profession. That's what you profess to believe. Don't let Satan blind you into thinking that God has changed what he said. Jeremiah said, chapter 37, verse 9 and 10, God said, tell them this, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves. God is not a man that he should lie, but man will lie. Deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. No matter who tells you they're going to depart, they're not going to depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they arise, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire, because God said they were going to burn the city. And if God said it, then it's going to come to pass. It's truth. It's truth. It will not change. 2 Timothy, let me read this to you. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. It won't change. No matter what you have heard, don't be deceived. God's word will never change. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, he says this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even if you change your belief, it doesn't change God. He's faithful to what he said. He cannot deny himself. What God said, it's fact. It's true. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, trying to deceive. Then he says this, study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God says you're going to have the word of truth. Stop trying to listen to everyone else on what God says and just look to the Bible, study it so that you know what God says. And once you know what God says and not what man or religion says, once you know what God says, you have a truth that will never change. That's good stuff. That really is. Especially in the day and age we're living in. Yeah. It was true back in Jeremiah's day, and it's true in our day. Yeah. But you say, preacher, the Bible says that God repented in several different things. Isn't that God changing his mind? No. For God is faithful to his will. The second part. God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. But that's not what's going to happen. Because God's left it up to the free will of man. God wants you to get saved, but until you choose to get saved, you will not be saved. Even though it's God's will. God is not only faithful to his word, God is faithful to his will. Judah did not have to go into Babylonian captivity. If you look at verse 2, Jeremiah had been preaching and teaching and saying, you don't have to go into Babylonian captivity. You don't have to suffer the judgment of God. Just turn back to God. You're the children of God. You're Judah. God gave you the land that you're living in. Honor him. Acknowledge him. Thank him. Serve him. Go back. And the Bible says neither the king nor his servants nor any in the land believed Jeremiah's preaching. And so God sent the Chaldeans to take them into captivity. Listen, and write this down. Take a mental note. God's judgments are predetermined. God's judgments are predetermined to be according to man's free will. Hell is a predetermined judgment upon all who fail to receive Christ as their Savior. But whether or not you receive Christ as your Savior is up to your free will. With God, there is an if. That's the free will. And there is a then, a predetermined judgment. Jeremiah chapter 22. Almost done here. Almost done. Stay with me. Jeremiah chapter 22. This is what Jeremiah preached to him. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 4. For if, underline that, that's their free will. God's not going to force you, it's your choice. For if you do this thing indeed, then predetermined judgment. But it's determined by the if. For if you do this thing indeed, then shall there enter into by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots on horses, he and his servants and his people. But, he says he's going to be overthrown. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his will. I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. He's faithful to his word, and he's faithful to his will. God never changes his mind. Very well familiar passage is Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. God said, Jonah, go preach what Nineveh needs to hear, repentance. For I'm going to destroy Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't like the Ninevites. God took him through an experience in the belly of the whale until he was willing to go. God has a way to get us to do what he wants us to do, but you still have to choose. You might be in the belly of the whale, but you better choose. If you want to die in the belly of the whale, you can die in the belly of the whale. If you want to have life after this, then you choose to obey God. So we find that Jonah now, after being in the belly of the whale, he is vomited up on dry land, and he goes to Nineveh. In verse 3 it says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh, you only have 40 days. God is going to destroy Nineveh. And God was going to destroy Nineveh. But he wanted them to make a choice. And so he made his word available to them. The word was, you need to repent. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Verse 5. And proclaimed a fast. And put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Okay, was it true? God was going to destroy. Did he say, I'm going to destroy? Yeah, he was going to destroy Nineveh. But it was a judgment that was predetermined to be according to Nineveh's free will. And God saw their works that day, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented. Now, for us, repentant is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. That's not true with God. God never changes his mind. Nineveh was going to be destroyed if they failed to repent of their sin. So when they repented of their sin, then God said, all right, it's not the judgment of you failing to repent of your sin. Now it's the blessings. That's not changing his mind. It was based upon what Nineveh did. Once Nineveh made their free will decision, then God says, all right, the judgment was according to your sin. Now the blessings according to your right decision. Amen. God doesn't change his mind, but judgment is predetermined to be according to man's free will. And God saw their works and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not, because it was based on their decision. The place where this is most clearly seen is in God's plan for salvation. In closing, John chapter 3. God never changes his mind. He is faithful to his word, and he is faithful to his will. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was his will. That is still his will. He's faithful to that. That will never change. He wants souls to be saved. He sent his Son so that they could have an opportunity. That he's faithful to his will. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I want you to be saved. It's my will, and I'm faithful to that, but there's a judgment on all that do not get saved. And I'm faithful to my word. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You've got to believe in him. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is God's will, and that is the free will of man. When you believe and you receive Christ, you have everlasting life, because that is faithful to God's word and that is faithful to God's will. But his word says, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That'll never change. That will never change, because it's predetermined. But it's based upon your decision. Heaven, hell. God's judgment, God's blessings. Predetermined. What's your decision? What's your decision? You have a free will. You can decide to or decide not to. But it's predetermined based on your decision. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. A truth that will always be a true. God never changes his mind. No matter how many times you ask me, Zedekiah, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Because God never changes his mind. No matter how society changes, how our circumstances of life change, God never changes. What's your decision this morning? Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, as we have presented this the best we could, I pray that all that are here would understand it and hold on to this truth. And each one that possibly needs to make a decision this morning, maybe a decision on salvation, maybe a decision as Israel needed to do, a repentance to get back to serving you. They didn't have to go into captivity, but they would go into captivity if they didn't choose you. Help us to learn from this and make applications in our own lives. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.